people have all the resources that they need to succeed inside of them. Yeah, absolutely. Now the way Milton Erickson describes it is this. He said that most people, we have a warehouse of resources inside of us. We have a huge warehouse of resources. Every resource we'd ever need to succeed. But most people go looking into that warehouse with a little teeny pen light. All right? So the question is, how do we turn on the floodlights in the warehouse to tap into all those resources? And that's part of what today, and that's part of what this entire training is about turning on the floodlights to tap into all of those resources that we have inside of us. So we're no longer looking in that warehouse with the pen light. And we do have all the resources that we need to succeed inside of us, just sometimes we haven't connected with those resources or we haven't found them. That some of the power of the anchoring techniques that we use in NLP is the ability to tap into some of those resources. Because we've all had times where we felt disempowered, but we've also all had those times where we felt totally empowered. We felt totally loved or totally confident or totally powerful. So the question is, how do we tap into those resources at any time that we choose? Or how do we assist other people to do the same? And that's where I see our role in NLP is to be the tour guide, is to help people to find those resources. Kind of like be the clerk for the warehouse that takes them down to that power. The clerk from the warehouse that says, oh yeah, that's cataloged right here. You know, kind of like the librarian. You go and ask the librarian, where's this book? It's kind of like, where's my power? Where's my confidence? And all we're doing is we're being the clerk. We're walking them right down to the perfect aisle, right where that resource resides. Until we can teach them to be their own clerk. Yeah. What other favorite presuppositions?
You are in charge of your mind, therefore your results.
You're in charge of your mind and therefore your results. It's kind of like Richard Bandler used to say, who's driving the bus? Who's driving the bus? And by the way, that goes the other way too. You're in charge of your mind and therefore your results, and your client is also in charge of their mind and therefore their results. Because some people say, well, like people when they describe their problems to you, they'll say, well, it just happens. This just goes on, or I just freeze, or I just can't think straight, or I just find myself doing this problem. By the way, some of you were here last week, and we did an airplane phobia. Did anybody see me do the airplane phobia on stage?
Yeah.
Both of you saw it, yeah. Ananda, you saw it too. So she calls us back, and she says, wow, it's just amazing. She said, I flew home, and all I could think of was Elvis Presley. Uh-huh. They did the logical levels of therapy. See, most people think that when they have a problem, and she was just thrilled. She just called us this morning. Yeah. So most people think they have a problem, and the problem just happens to them. But the fact is, we're in charge of our minds. We're the ones that create our own problems and also our own successes. So the question is, how can we coach somebody to wake up to that realization? That yes, in fact, they are in charge of their mind and therefore the results that they produce. It's kind of like Milton Erickson was once asked to work with somebody that had ringing in their ears. They had tinnitus. They said they have ringing in their ears. And Milton said, well, if you've proven that you can have sound in your head that's not there, he said, why not play a happy tune? Yeah, if you've proven that you can have some sound there, why not make it a happy tune? Or it's kind of like the client who said that somebody was coming down from the television set and following him around, and he said that it was Mary from Little House on the Prairie. And the question that the practitioner said was, couldn't you pick a better channel? Yeah, it's like, who's in charge? Or when you hear people talking about phantom leg pains, like there was a man that came to see Milton Erickson, a man with a wooden leg named John. And the man with a wooden leg named John came to see Milton Erickson and said that he was having phantom leg pains. That means he was having leg pains in a leg that wasn't there. And the response was, well, if you've proven that you can have pains in a leg that's not there, or you could have feelings in a leg that's not there, why not just make it feel good? So the question is, who's driving the bus? Who's in charge?
Did those things work?
Absolutely.
They did.
Absolutely. Good. What's the next one?
How about there are no resistant clients, only inflexible
communicators? Yes, there are no resistant clients, only inflexible communicators. And this goes for learning disabilities as well. I don't believe in learning disabilities. There's no such thing. There's only inflexible teachers or inflexible communicators. And there's no resistance in a client. There's only an inflexible communicator as well. By the way, all of these presuppositions are not necessarily true, but they're convenient beliefs. And when you act as if they're true, you're going to produce better results. So I don't believe in resistant clients, nor do I believe in learning disabilities. Because what that does is it implies that if we take upon us the responsibility for getting through, then all we need to do is increase our behavioral flexibility and we'll eventually get through. So the student that's not learning well, what do we need to do that would cause that student to actually make a shift and begin to learn? Yes. Introduce it in a way that they understand it, which means the ultimate flexibility comes on us as a teacher, as a parent, as a role model, to change our own communication until we get through. Because there are no inflexible, or there are no resistant clients, only inflexible communicators. And we also say that resistance in a client is a sign of lack of rapport. It's insufficient pacing. So we may need to go back and pace a little bit before we lead. Yeah. What else? Any other ones? Everybody is doing the best they can with the resources they have available. Now, what this one implies is it implies forgiveness. Everybody's doing the best they can with the resources they have available. Doesn't justify sometimes the behaviors. Doesn't justify what they're doing or make it right. What it does do, I mean, from a global perspective, like if we're looking at something from a global perspective and they're doing a behavior that damages or hurts society or the people around them, we may still need to lock them up if that was necessary. However, it also gives us the ability to look at that person and say, hey, they're just doing the best they can with the resources they have available to them at the time. That implies forgiveness. It also says that people are not their behaviors. They're just, so we can accept that person and change the behavior. It also implies forgiveness of ourselves, because we could look back at our past. This goes for you. So if you look back at your past and you say, I didn't do this that I wasn't happy with or this that I wasn't happy with, you go, hey, I was doing the best I could with the resources I had available at the time. I just didn't have the floodlight turned on in the warehouse.
Have you ever done a study with NLP and prisoners?
Yeah, there's actually some exciting things going on with people going into the prison systems and working with prisons. And in fact, I've worked personally with people on a couple of different continents, working with people that are going into the prison systems and making changes within the prison system using NLP specifically, and also working with sex offenders and things like that going into the prison systems, helping them to make changes. Yeah. Well, I think it's always the person that helps themselves.
Right.
It's always the person that helps themselves. And I also think that sometimes it's necessary to keep people locked up because for the benefit of society. Can it help people to change their thinking? Absolutely. In fact, I've worked with a couple of people that worked with hardcore offenders and things like that in terms of getting them to change their thinking. See, prevalent in that type of activity is the thought that it's okay to fantasize or it's okay to do this or that. But we know that the unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between fantasy and reality. So it's not okay to do that. In fact, a lot of the programs that they're doing nowadays to rehabilitate people like that involve getting them to the point where they understand that it's not okay to fantasize about things like that. And therein lies some of the challenges that we're experiencing nowadays, especially with the new laws that are coming out with... They talk about, okay, you can't do certain things, but it's okay to have computer-generated graphics that do the same thing. Those, for me, from my perspective, that's not okay for society, and it's not a good thing for society because the unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between fantasy and reality. Violent movies and everything, you got to think, what are we constantly hypnotizing? It's social hypnosis. But you look at media, and when we talk about the development of value systems and how value systems... progress and change over time, we'll notice that the media has a major impact on the values of society and therefore the direction that we're heading. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. What other, any other presuppositions, major presuppositions that you notice?
All procedures
Let's see, we chatted about that one a little bit.
All
procedures should be designed to increase choice. I think that's incredibly important. And it's often overlooked in NLP. See, whenever we're doing a process with somebody, we want to look at how do we increase choice for them rather than decrease choice. So if they're having a problem where they say, my only option is behaving in this way, we don't want to create for them another option where they only have one choice or one option.